This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services and from Jerry Lane Chevrolet. Your number is 877-217-5757. Emails to talk at talklouisiana.org. We are broadcasting today from the Farm Bureau Convention in New Orleans, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, celebrating its 100th anniversary. Most of Louisiana's political luminaries are on hand, and one of those who will be here soon is the Lieutenant Governor, William Harold Nungesser. But at the moment, I'm at 555 Canal Street, and he is on his way, and he is joining us telephonically to begin our show. And good morning to you, Governor Nungesser.
Good morning, my friend. How are you this morning?
Doing well, and I'm sure you're out courting tourism. And I'm in New Orleans now, but I know the talk of the town in Baton Rouge right now is a second deadly shooting at Benny's Car Wash on Perkins Road, where things like this are not supposed to occur. And crime is the big issue. You are a candidate for governor unofficially. That may be the biggest issue in the governor's race next year. Do you have any thoughts about what we can do, Governor?
Well, first thing we've got to do is keep the bad people behind bars. And there was some legislation passed to do that, some of it vetoed. But if we don't keep the bad people locked up, when you're arresting someone 2 and 3 dozen times for serious crimes before they spend a night in jail, something is wrong with the system. The lawyers or judges that get these people out time and time again. And it's got to be disheartening to the police officers that arrest them over and over.
877-217-5757. We're going to cover some ground with Governor Nungesser and our time with him this morning. But how much of a impediment to tourism is crime?
Well, it's the crime. It's the cleanliness. It's the homeless, the people that are half nude on the streets of the French Quarter. Someone sent me a video of two people engaging in sex on Canal Street in the middle of the day the other day. And people say they're just not coming back. So you can book all the conventions you want and brag about the tourists that are coming. But if everyone leaving the city, New Orleans or any city, talked about those things going on, we will see these great tourism numbers we've enjoyed for several years go away, especially in those major cities.
All right. I wonder what happened to the people who were having sex on Canal Street. Are they in jail?
That's a good question. I sent the video that was sent to me off to the local officials, and if I was a betting man, I'd say no.
Okay. Well, in addition to this, we have inflation and we have the war in Ukraine, and those things are affecting the cost of doing business, all kinds of business, including tourism. How is your industry, the one that you focus specifically on right now as Lieutenant Governor, affected by this?
Well, it's affecting every business. The hospitality industry is having trouble getting people to fill open jobs. But, you know, our job is to make sure we get as many people to travel all over Louisiana, visit the shops, attractions, spend money, because getting back open after COVID was tough. Now with inflation, gas prices, many of these businesses won't make it. And that's why we've got to do everything we can to keep those people spending money in those businesses all over Louisiana. We're off to a great start this year. Last year, we saw $16 billion in spending in tourism, which is far better than we thought coming out of COVID. And I think we'll be back to those record-breaking years this year or next year if we can keep that pace. But we surely got to do something about cleaning up these cities and the crime, or that won't continue.
All right. Well, I can tell you it's also extremely hot out here. People may want to debunk global warming, but we've got issues with the heat, and New Orleans is a great city at any time, but right now the heat can be oppressive, and you, being a native, you have some ideas, I hear. How can we beat the heat, Governor?
Well, we've been promoting all these great new splash pads. We've put some special needs facilities in the state parks, access to our beaches. And we've been promoting, you can go to a beach at a state park or a splash pad at these parks, cool off, and do it on less than a half a tank of gas. And I tell you, we're off to another record-breaking year for our state parks. Mm-hmm. Incredible numbers. People are going and hanging out on those beaches and splash pads to cool off on the weekends, and we're seeing a lot more travelers with RVs filling up our state parks.
All right, Heather on Goodwood says maybe we need a clothing optional location in Louisiana. That might be an attraction, Governor.
I'm not touching that. You know, a lot of people went out. They had the naked bike ride a few weeks ago, and I saw pictures of that on social media. I think once a year is enough for that.
All right, the Essence Festival. What an event that is for New Orleans. The city will be a congregation point for many people all around the country, and this has been around for a while, and Governor, it is a big part of the fabric of the summer of the Crescent City.
It really is, and you know, we talk about the impact that the film industry has on tourism, and we are updating that study because we'll be in Baton Rouge in the next session to get the legislatures to re-up that five-year commitment to the movie tax credit, and it's a good time to talk about it because Girls Trip, when that movie came out, Essence Fest had a record year. People stay and fill the hotels all the way to Baton Rouge. And just that movie, mm-hmm. the impact it had on that event was incredible.
All right. The governor is doing this remotely today, and I am in a different location as well. But that doesn't mean that Lieutenant Governor Nungesser has not coming fully gifted with his swag bag, which includes all kinds of goodies, including a t-shirt, travel cup, umbrella, and more. It is yours if you can answer the trivia question supplied this month. And who is the lieutenant governor who, obviously a former lieutenant governor, who is in the LSU Athletic Hall of Fame? If you get it right, it is yours. 877-217-5757. Patrick from Inniswold, you're on. Good morning, Patrick.
Hey, good morning. I noticed you guys were talking about the Benny's Car Wash at the very beginning of y'all's interview. And Nungesser, just really, I mean, I get it. You're not really in charge of this arena. But, you know, Benny's Car Wash, you know, of course, they were the same business where the three police officers were attacked. And then we had this crime yesterday.
That was a different location, though. That was not the one.
Yeah, getting to my point. Let me get to my point real quick. They tend to declare businesses public nuisances just because crime happens. And I get it. Benny's is not responsible for this. And I'm not trying to say they are. But, I mean, is it fair to have businesses declare public nuisances or like these bars where shootings happen? They'll shut down a bar because a shooting happened. Is it fair to target an innocent business owner or property owner for a crime that randomly takes place on their property?
All right, Governor.
You know, absolutely not. Look, Benny's Car Wash, that family is a great ambassador for Louisiana. They give back to the community in so many ways. They have supported our litter cleanup across Baton Rouge. That family has stepped up to the plate in helping out our city and our state in so many ways. And when something horrible like this happens, we need to step up and support those local businesses. Now, there are some bars and places that attract the wrong crowd over and over again. Those need to be looked at on an individual basis sometimes. But no, a business should never be targeted because crime happened there or a shooting. It's an unfortunate incident. It's not the car wash that caused the crime. It was the person committing the crime. And that's what I talk about. Everybody likes to talk about what caused it, why. I bet you, I'll go out on a limb and say, I'll bet you that person involved in that shooting was arrested at least a dozen times before he pulled that trigger.
All right,
that's sad.
Cherry in New Orleans, you're on with Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser.
Well, I was calling in for the trivia question.
All right. Well, You can answer the question then.
My guess is Bobby Freeman. Wasn't he a boxer?
Yes, he was. Boxer, LSU All-American, two-time NCAA runner-up in his weight class, April 27, 1932 to May 16, 2016. Two-term lieutenant governor, quite a man, Robert L. Bobby Freeman, and you are correct. Hang on the line, Cherry. We'll take care of you. Let's go to Kevin in North Baton Rouge. Kevin, good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to know, you were saying about the crime and stuff that's happening, like, in New Orleans and the inner city. What about all those child molesters who are judges, DAs, and everything in Southeast Louisiana?
All right. Well, we'll let that one ride for a moment. But hang tight. We'll be back after this 90-second pause with more pearls of wisdom from William Harold Nungesser. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to Talk Louisiana. Our number is 877-217-5757. The Supreme Court has overturned Roe v. Wade, eliminating the constitutional right to abortion in our country, and we will talk about that in a bit. But we're wrapping it up with Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser. Craig in Natchitoches. Craig, you're on.
Yeah, good morning. I actually had the answer to a trivia question, but the young lady before beat me to it. But I didn't want to make a comment. One of your regular callers, Jim, Dan from downtown, mentioned one of the last times that Lieutenant Governor Nungesser saw him, said he would be, said something about starting a group, Democrats for Nungesser. Well, if he starts that group, I will be more than happy to join in.
Well, Governor, I'm sure you'll take all comers.
You know, I think it's so important. You know, I come from when my daddy was working with Dave Treen and worked with everybody. And they argued during the day, but they went out to dinner at night. They worked for the greater good of Louisiana. We've got to get back to that. We've become too much like Washington, where it's a win or a loss. It ain't what's best for the people. And I hope that we can get back to those days in Louisiana where we work for the greater good.
And I must add that when Donald Trump had those three rallies in 2019 to try to unseat John Bel Edwards, every Republican in the state who's a statewide office holder and the entire congressional delegation from the GOP attended, with one exception, and it's our guest, Billy Nungesser. Now, Billy Nungesser, you'll be in New Orleans shortly, I understand, for this Farm Bureau convention where we are, but then it's north to Alaska. What in the world are you doing there?
Yeah, there's an aerospace conference, and several lieutenant governors have been invited to talk about the expansion of the aerospace and other businesses that can complement that industry. And, you know, we have NASA here. We've got a great opportunity to expand. They're looking at wind farms being constructed in Louisiana. And just to talk about how all those businesses and local businesses can maybe expand and do business with the aerospace industry. There'll be leaders from all over that industry in Alaska. That's a long way to go for a two-day conference, but I think it's a great opportunity for us to look for new opportunities for business and industry here in Louisiana.
Well, we look forward to a report next month. And, Governor, thank you so much. Always a pleasure. See you in our home, our birth town. So go for it.
Take care, my friend. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you, Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser. And here at the microphone at the Marriott 555 Canal is one of the deans of the Capitol Press Corps in Baton Rouge, Greg Hilburn, who covers the news for Gannett. And unlike many of his longtime associates, he's not cashed in for a high-paying PR job. Good morning, Greg.
Oh, thanks for having me, Jim. Always great to be on your show.
Well, this wasn't the intended topic, but boom, here it is. It's no surprise, and it's also no surprise that it comes on a Friday when people try to bury news stories, hoping by Monday it won't be a story as much as it is now, and it'll be a story Monday and beyond. The Supreme Court has overturned Roe v. Wade 49 and a half years after the Supreme Court allowed abortion to be available on demand through two trimesters. Your thoughts?
Well, it makes, because of Louisiana's trigger law, it makes abortion illegal right now, today. The clinics will have to close. They may have already closed their doors. There'll be no exceptions for rape or incest, which was a controversial topic.
It is ironic that a day ago, a person in Louisiana who is an abortion provider could do their job, and today they could be charged with murder for the same act.
Absolutely. Any health care professional, doctor or nurse who assists could have steep penalties in the increased penalties under the law that was tweaked during this previous legislative session that the governor had signed just last week.
Well, we, of course, will be talking about this in the coming days, but it is a story that affects Louisiana immensely. Last time I checked, and some other states, of course, could enact laws that would make it illegal there, but I think it's 666 miles now from the Louisiana border to the place closest where a woman could get a legal abortion in the United States right now. Paul in Opelousas. Paul, you're on with Greg Hilburn. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning, Greg. Just a quick, reaction to what happened. Does it make it illegal in the state of Louisiana, because I know you try to pass it, if the doctor or the woman have the abortion? Is it still possible that that law will be passed in seeking criminal complaints against the wife, against the mother?
Not against the woman, not against the potential mother. But against the provider, yes, male or female, the provider could face criminal charges of the highest sort.
I think, Paul, you were referring to a bill that blew up all over the country earlier in the session. It failed.
Billy McCormick,
but,
yeah.
Right, that would have been able to charge the mother with murder. And even Louisiana Right to Life opposed to that, and some other the most prominent our largest, I should say,
and most importantly, Governor Edwards opposed it.
He did,
but
right.
He signed the other bill that went into effect this week, and it is an expansion of the trigger law. And the governor of Louisiana, as we know, is quote pro-life. This is a state in which, surprisingly, in that poll from LSU, the numbers are not as dramatic as you might think. It's almost 50-50 in our state for or against abortion rights, but most of the lawmakers, as we know, are in accord with the decision from the high court. AJ in Nairn Park, you're on with Greg Hilburn. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. I just want to say that because of the trigger law, my psychiatrist can no longer prescribe my meds.
And why is that?
Birth defects. Her insurance won't let her because doctors can go to jail for any sort of abortion or something like that. And since some of the medications I take could cause an abortion, she can't prescribe them to me anymore.
Yeah, well, most abortions in the United States, unlike in 1990 when this issue was hot at the Capitol, they're done pharmaceutically, but that is also illegal. It's basically anything that stops a pregnancy, Greg.
Right, the drug-induced abortions are any abortion other than the only real exception is for the save the life of the mother, but the question, of course, then is who would do that? Who determines that? It would be a doctor, but there's some concern that puts them at risk, making any kind of decision like that.
Well, this was a question from a listener directed to Billy Nungesser, and it's a little devilish question. Billy's on his way, and he's gone, but I'll save it after Rebel in Sherwood. Rebel, good morning. You're on with Greg. Hi, Rebel.
Good morning, Jim. Here we go again, Jim. I just wanted to thank the theocrats in Louisiana and just give you some factoids that now we have worse abortion laws than Saudi Arabia, and abortion laws in Louisiana are now equal to those in Nazi Germany at the end of World War II.
Well,
from
a political perspective, Republicans have owned this issue for 49 and a half years, and it is now the Democrats' issue, and we'll see if they can capitalize the same way the Republican Party has. But on a more whimsical question, who was it? It's Tracy at the Capitol. All worked up that Arch Manning is headed to the University of Texas, grandson of Archie Manning, who sent three sons away to play college football. What's going on with Archie Manning, who's made millions here in New Orleans, and he sends all his sons and grandsons off to play football in other places?
No Manning has ever played in Louisiana.
No.
Other than high school. I mean, I think it's an insult to the state.
It is.
And to any New Orleanian, to any Louisianan, I think it's horrible.
Yeah, Archie's down the street here at Audubon Place, and he's benefited nicely. And you know what? His career record, 35 wins, 101 losses, the worst career record in the history of the NFL for a quarterback. And yet he made millions. At one time, he was the highest paid player in the league and has the gall to send his sons and grandsons off to play college football in other places. What's going on with the Mannings? Greg Milburn, the man from the North Country of Louisiana, is hot and bothered, and I'm sure many others are as well, but they're probably glad he's not going to the University of Alabama. You're listening to Talk Louisiana. We're live from the 100th anniversary of the Louisiana Farm Bureau at their convention in New Orleans, and we will return with the man who is the guy in charge of the largest industry in our state, Commissioner Mike Strain, after this. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us. Yours truly is broadcasting today from the Marriott, the big one at 555 Canal Street, New Orleans, where the Farm Bureau meets annually for its gathering. Avery Davidson, who will be with us in just a bit, has about 2,000 of his closest friends here, and a group that has 136,000 members in our state, and one of those is the Commissioner of Agriculture, the Honorable Mike Strain, who's with us, and responding to a listener's comment on the topic of the day, independent of what's happening here, the U.S. Supreme Court has overturned Roe v. Wade, and it's up to 10 years in prison in Louisiana now if a doctor is convicted of performing an abortion based on Katrina Jackson's law. That from Jeff Palermo, the news director of the Louisiana Radio Network. 877-217-5757 for Mike Strain, who, of course, is with us on a somewhat frequent basis. And right now in the agriculture community, many are wary about prices, and the war in Ukraine has certainly affected this industry immensely. Your thoughts, Commissioner Strain?
Yes, and if you saw yesterday, they're trying to build a coalition of the navies of the free world to go and try to help the Ukraine get some of that product out. A great deal of the products, there's 25 million tons of food in the Ukraine that was destined for the rest of the world that is stuck in the ports, and they need to have basically to chaperone them out, because the other issue is that the food that the Ukraine is currently growing, that is getting ready to harvest, has nowhere to go. And so if not, there's going to be a tremendous food deficit. If we've seen in the last, you know, few weeks, the urgency is that when we get close to the international harvest, and that means that the lowest amount of residual stocks is left, we are concerned about there being famine in many countries.
Well, Ukraine is a breadbasket, not quite like the United States, but nonetheless, when we're talking about the percentage of grain available to people in the world, that is a central point, isn't it?
It is very big. The Ukraine's about the size of Texas, but 10% of the grain that's exported to the world comes from the Ukraine. Conversely, the entire United States, 20% of the grain that's exported to the world comes from the United States. 50% of the sunflower, if you look at just a huge percentage of wheat and other products from the Ukraine, goes specifically into Europe, into the Middle East, into Africa, and other parts of the world. And so with all the other conditions, that food is vital. And that's one of the reasons Putin is trying to stop it for whatever reason. He's just trying to stop it from leaving. And that's going to put a tremendous pressure. What it's also going to do is that you see that our exports from the United States are growing, but many countries now are no longer allowing export of food products from their countries anywhere, and so mm-hmm. It's really causing worldwide instability.
Well, how does this affect Louisiana farmers?
Well, what it does for us, specifically, one of the issues we have is potash fertilizer and the cost of that. But you're seeing a positive rise in commodity prices. However, in the last 10 days, that's been checked by the rising inflation and what's happening with the Fed on raising mm-hmm. interest rates. And you'd seen that, you know, the goal of the Fed is to cause economic recession to curb inflation. And we've seen in the last 10 days a decrease in the commodity prices, even though the input costs are up, We've seen downward pressure on the commodity prices, and the farmer's net profitability is squeezed in the middle. And so that is further causing world instability. And I think what's going to happen, my big concern is that we look into next year. So if you look at the price of chicken, beef, pork, next year, it's reflected in the cost of grain this year. And so there's no short-term answer to the inflationary pressures and no short-term answer to rising food costs. And if you saw what was, you know, in the Wall Street Journal today, they're talking about that the chairman, Powell, sees no let-up in inflation. And that's in the today's Wall Street Journal. And so it's going to continue. And our job here and the collective job of all the farmers is that we've got to stay in business. We have to be able to turn a profit. We've got to increase production. So the demand is going to grow. And if you look at rice, wheat, corn, if you look at all cotton, worldwide, our consumption in most of these is greater than production worldwide. And that's going into this year. And so we will know a lot at the end of harvest. We will know how much total production has occurred. We know what consumption is. And I think you're going to see these commodity prices continue to rise. And unfortunately, I think you're going to see food costs continue to rise until we tackle the fundamental issue, which is input inflation.
Okay. 877-217-5757 if you'd like to get in under the wire with Commissioner of Agriculture Michael Gene Strain, in office since 2008, 14 and a half years.
That's unbelievable.
It is, and he's announced he is running for re-election next year. We have a question about politics for Commissioner Strain, but before we get there, the Dow Jones Industrial Average at one point recently went down below 30,000 after reaching a record high in January. It's now gone back up some. It's up over 500 points in the early trading today, 31,235, which is good news considering the carnage on Wall Street of late. But a listener asked about the commodities market. How has it been doing?
The commodity markets have been trending down for the last 10 days. They initially trended up, they're trending down. If you watch specifically, you watch what's happening with oil, you watch the commodity markets, and some of the commodity markets, if you look, you know, specifically at such things as corn and cotton, you see there's been some pretty strong swings. November soybeans are at 14.15. They'd gotten up over 17.
But early in the year, they were going up, right?
They were going up.
It's kind of interesting that the last 10 days, the stock market has corrected the other way, and now the commodities market is going
well,
in the wrong direction.
But you have to look at, you got supply and demand, and then you got Chicago Board of Trade, just like stocks. Supply and demand, the economy, and Wall Street. And so there's a lot of money. But if you look at these, look at cotton at 102, you know, conversely, a year ago, it was running around 86. And it got up to about $1.32, then to $1.27. But it does have an effect on these commodity markets. Now, we are in the middle of growing these commodities. So weather patterns as well as everything else influences that. But I do think what you're seeing, a lot of our farmers are building facilities to hold their product. They don't have to sell it exactly at harvest. And so I think you're going to see more owner retention for a period of time until they can have delivery. But a lot of these commodities have already been sold. So when corn got up into that, you know, 720, 730, 50 to 75% of the crop that had just gotten planted or was going to be planted was already sold. Now, in a number of cases, the elevators would not go ahead and contract because of the extreme volatility. But I do expect as we get closer to harvest and we get some better understanding what's going on and the overall, quote, culture shock of what's happening with inflation, rising interest rates will settle out. And I think you're going to see this starting to trend up. I mean, wheat is at 936. It had gotten to 1250. Conversely, 2 years ago, it was 450.
Do you invest in the commodities market?
I do not. I do not invest in commodities.
But there's nothing.
Because I'm one of the chief regulators in agriculture, and the information I have, I guess, could be considered insider trading. So I do trade in the markets, and I have for 30-something years, but it is on Wall Street, and it is in just general stocks. But I will not and do not and am not going to do anything because it would be considered I have an unfair advantage
with
insider information.
But members of Congress, of course, They have insider information and they trade.
Ethics is an individual thing.
It is.
You know, if your heart tells you don't do it, don't do it. you know, but, and again, because, you know, that way, you know, because I can, what I say to you today and what I will say across the media, because in any given week we're reaching, you know, 1.5 million people, could have an influence on the price of these commodities. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you, for instance, when we had Hurricane Ida and we had all those ships stuck in the river, and when you saw with that and the national news is calling, based on what I say and how I say it would have an effect on whether or not the commodities went up or down on Chicago border trade because of the river, which moves 65% of the grain. So in that respect, you know, what we do or what we say and through the media can have an effect on the markets, and I think that would be unfair.
Here's a two-part question from Hal in Monroe, the political question. Will there be a Republican governor to succeed John Bel Edwards?
I think so. I think if you look at everything, the Republicans have a distinct advantage right now. However, as you know, it's a horse race. I think if you have a single Democrat, and then because of that base, they have a pretty good chance of getting in the second primary with a Republican. And so, you know, the odds are, and I think very positively, we will have a Republican governor. But nothing is for granted. It's a race.
And then the second part of the question is there any chance Commissioner Strain will pivot and run for governor?
No, I am committed. And when I gave my word, you know, to my fellow Farm Bureau members and to everyone that I'm running for commissioner, there's still a lot to do. I'm not done here. And to be governor, I have to give up being commissioner. Think about that.
Yeah, you can't
do both.
You'd be breaking the law.
No. So I
can't run for both at the same time.
That's correct. Even though some people have tried to run for two offices.
Yeah, in fact, I take that back. I remember my friend Steve Myers. He ran for two offices at the same time, and the judge ruled in his favor because he said he could run. You just can't hold both offices. He would have to pick and choose if he won both elections. So actually, based on that decision for Judge Mike Caldwell, you could be on the ballot for governor and agriculture commissioner.
That would be a hard campaign, right?
But it happens all the time with these, like, people running for vice president. Mm-hmm. You know, they're running
for a re-election to Congress or the Senate.
At the same time.
On the ticket, yes.
Yeah, yes.
Wouldn't that be interesting? But I am running for commissioner of agriculture.
Well, Mike Strain is a guy who loves his job. That's apparent by his enthusiasm. And he's got a couple of thousand of his closest friends in the house here at the Marriott in New Orleans for the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation Convention. And we'll hear from Avery Davidson. Commissioner Strain, thanks for your good work.
Thank you, and thank you for always allowing us to do what we do and to do the Daily Voice. It's really great.
People love Mike Strain. We'll be calling on you to come back soon. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Your number is 877-217-5757. In the house at 555 Canal Street, New Orleans, the Marriott for the Farm Bureau Federation Convention is the guy who runs the show as far as the public outreach efforts for one of the largest organizations in the state. Farm Bureau Federation has 136,000 members.
Yes.
Avery Davidson, who is a longtime journalist who came to work Farm Bureau under my great friend Mike Dana, the late great Mike Dana. What was the year?
That was 2008. It was the third time he tried to hire me away from WAFB, and then third time was the charm.
So you came in the same year as Commissioner Strain did.
Yes.
14 years and counting for Avery Davidson. And you haven't been able to hold this conference the way you have on a normal basis.
No.
Every year you'd meet in person, but the last few have been virtual. It's nice to have all these people back.
It's good to have a family reunion of sorts, especially for our centennial, you know, this being our 100th annual meeting. But the last two, you're right, we did one of them completely virtual, and then the last one we had a few in-person mm-hmm. events. But the important portion, the voting delegates portion, had to happen virtually.
Avery Davidson in the house, a man of many interests, and he has become an authority on agriculture in our state. In the history of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, which began 100 years ago. And at that time, agriculture was done in a different way, but then and now it's the biggest industry in the state. What are some of the distinctions in the last century? What was it like when the Farm Bureau Federation started in 1922?
Actually, it was 1921. So the charter date for Louisiana Farm Bureau is November 17th, 1921.
Okay.
A guy by the name of Harry Capp was one of the people who organized it. He had organized Arkansas Farm Bureau before coming here to Louisiana to organize the Farm Bureau here. And the main difference is sort of what the focus was. At the time, there were problems with selling some of the commodities grown in Louisiana, so they formed a lot of co-ops and marketing associations early on in the history of Farm Bureau. Then in the 1930s and 40s, as the Depression hit and as we started to see lots of problems there, those marketing associations went by the wayside, and the Louisiana Farm Bureau really took the focus it has now, which is to focus on legislative efforts and public relations. And those are the two really main focuses of the organization. We're kind of different in that over 100 years, we've had 12 presidents, but only three of them over the last 59 years.
How about that? Yeah. And one we visited with regularly here, Ronnie Anderson, mm-hmm. who also was a member of the LSU Board of Supervisors for many years. And now Jim Harper's in charge. And a listener, this is Taylor, asking about your new palace.
Oh,
Harper Boulevard.
Yes.
When do you move in there?
We're probably going to move in there late July, early August. We're hoping for a completion date sometime in mid-July, and that really is something to culminate 100 years. The crazy thing is we've been looking for a new place for more than a decade, and this finally became available, and the situation was right for us to find a new home where we could grow for the next 100 years. Because right now, for the insurance side, some folks are in different locations. This is going to allow us to consolidate, have everyone under one roof. And the great thing about the Federation, mm-hmm. right now we're spread out over three floors in the building on Airline Highway. We're all going to be in one little cozy corner.
Well, and Avery is also the host of This Week in Louisiana Agriculture, and that program airs all over the world. In fact, doesn't it air abroad?
It does. So for a while it was airing on a certain web-based network, but we're airing on RFD-TV nationally. We're on in every broadcast market in the state, and that really helps get the word out. Twyla just had an anniversary as well. This Week in Louisiana Agriculture turned 40 in September of last year. So it's really been a great way that shows the evolution of the message of Farm Bureau, because back in the early days when Reginald Wallace started up This Week in Louisiana Agriculture in 1981, it was a program by farmers for mm-hmm. farmers. Now it's evolved to be more of connecting consumers with those involved in agriculture.
Right. And Tom on Bluebonnet notes that one of your predecessors as the top publicist, if you will, for the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation was a guy named Smiley Gray Anders.
Smiley Anders held the position of editor of the Farm Bureau News back when Elmer Lolly was the assistant. Well, he wasn't even assistant to the president yet. Elmer Lolly was one of our employees, and president was Larry Lovell.
Larry Lovell, going back a ways. But Avery Davidson is a guy who has passion for everything he does, and he did cross over from being a news journalist to a publicist, but those juices still flow, don't they?
They do. You know, people would ask me, do you ever miss being on TV or being in journalism? And my answer is usually yes, but never Saturday, Sunday, or payday. But the reality is I still have a foot
you're
in
saying,
it, if you
you're
will.
Saying those people are not paid a lot?
I'm saying that there are people who are starting on TV stations at the same rate that I started back in 1999. But with what I do now with Louisiana Farm Bureau, I still get to cover some news in covering agriculture. And in ways, it's even more important because mm-hmm. I remember early on when I joined the Society of Professional Journalists, you know, one of the tenets is to give voice to the voiceless. Well, we're talking about a group that's 2% of the population. It's really tough to have a voice when you're only 2% of the population. So I really enjoy telling the stories of farmers and ranchers who really take care of the earth, who take care of their families, and make sure that all of us are fed and clothed.
Well, with 136,000 members and a state with 4.8 million people, You're more than 2% of the Louisiana population, and that's a lot of folks who are affiliated with agriculture. This is an agrarian state.
It is, and you know, it's still the largest industry in the state, no matter what some economists might say.
Guy whose initials are LS.
Yes. I wasn't going to call him out, but
hopefully you'll call in. And I think he has a point that oil and gas on a revenue basis mm-hmm. is larger, but as far as people and also the residual impact, you think of the ports in Louisiana. Those are obviously byproducts of the agriculture industry.
Yeah, you would not have the ports doing as much as they do, especially here in New Orleans. I mean, New Orleans is very much an agricultural port. 60% of all grain exported from the U.S. comes down the Mississippi River. And then you have the largest poultry export facility with New Orleans Cold Storage here in New Orleans. And an industry that's agricultural that most people don't think about, coffee. Coffee
yeah.
used to always come
something?
In here to the Port
Isn't
of New Orleans, and there's Dupuy Warehouse, which is a coffee roaster as well, and they bring in coffee from all around the equatorial regions and roast it up for coffee houses here.
But the big roasters in the United States are right here in New Orleans,
yeah.
aren't they?
Yep. Yeah.
Isn't that
Folgers,
something?
Maxwell House, and then, you know, you had the Sirajas who said, we'll take it a little further up the river to Port Allen.
All right. I know you're following the Farm Bill. Mm-hmm. Which, of course, is vital to people in the industry. What's going on there?
The debate is just beginning. The main focus that we have here in Louisiana is making sure the disaster programs in that farm bill fit what we have here in Louisiana, which is a situation where you have your full investment out there in the field, and then a major storm, a hurricane, comes in and wipes that out. The disaster programs currently in the Farm Bill are really good if you can see that you're losing a crop and you can stop putting your investment in it. But gosh darn it, 25% or 50% of what you've already put in there and expecting a farm to go on, if that's your return on your investment, you're just not going to make it.
Avery Davidson, the man who is the chief publicist, public relations director of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, and it is a major entity, and the commitment to journalism is amazing. You have a budget that is enviable for some of us. I mean, you just for this convention, audiovisual stuff, I would imagine the cost is immense.
It's higher than I'm willing to say on radio, but that said, it shows the dedication of our board of directors, our president, Jim Harper, of making sure that, one, this event is something that everyone mm-hmm. will enjoy and talk about after they're leaving. I mean, 1,500, 1,600 farmers and their families all here right now at the New Orleans Marriott. That's, you want to make sure that they come away with a great experience. But also the investment on This Week in Louisiana Agriculture. I mean, we provide that TV show and the information in it for free.
I think it was 3 years ago. Just happened that the Farm Bureau Federation was meeting at the same time as the Essence Fest.
Yep.
And you had all these people attending the Essence Festival and the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation in the same hotel. And some people would say that's a prescription for disaster, but people were partying, carrying on. It was an amazing time.
It inspired something that's now become a regular event for our Farm Bureau conventions. That the combined party that they had down there in the lobby inspired what we call Farm Bureau Friday Night, where we have a DJ.
That'll
and,
be tonight. Then.
Well, although this year's different because we're having our centennial celebration with the band Nickel Beer performing. And
Nickel Beer.
Yep, Nickel Beer out of they're out of Vermilion Parish.
Avery knows his bands.
Teddy Abear on drums. He's a heck of a drummer and nice guy. But
so, how many times have you seen Metallica?
I have seen Metallica 7 times.
And you've seen others more.
Iron Maiden 21 and Dream Theater 20.
And Avery, among other things, is an accomplished musician in his own right. He did a great job as a guest host on this show not so long ago, and we'll be calling on him again soon. And congratulations on 14 years at the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation.
Thanks, Jim.
Avery Davidson, good man who he went from journalism to public relations, but he has done it well. And we're glad he's here, and we're glad you're listening. We'll be back Monday. Much to talk about, obviously, next week. Until then, a reminder that the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation is an underwriter for WRKF, and signature support for this show comes from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services and from Jerry Lane Chevrolet. Until next time, stay safe and stay tuned.